John chapter 8, verse 42. I'm gonna preach on this or teach on this tonight. Watch this. Seven lies the Sodomites need you to believe. Seven lies the Sodomites need you to believe. John chapter 8 and verse number 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And, this is sad, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. Lord, it just seems like, dear God, the propaganda machine, Satan's propaganda machine of lies just never ends. And dear God, I guess the old saying is, if you tell a lie enough times, people begin to believe it's the truth. And so, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to stand in the pulpit and proclaim truth based not on someone's personal opinion, but on the principles and precepts of the Word of God. And so, Lord, may we always be a people of the Bible. And may we use it, dear God, as the foundation, the guideline of faith and practice. And all that we believe, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. One of the curriculum that I just recently published, 104 teen Bible lessons, 2 years worth of teen Bible lessons, one of the series that's in there are the 13 most notorious villains of the Bible, which I've taught to our congregation years ago. And I like that series because it allows us to address some things. But let me tell you what I think the greatest advantage of that teaching series is. It's this. Every single one of those men or women that's listed in the 13 most notorious villains of the Bible, every one of them ended up doing what they did and causing so much destruction simply because they bought into one lie that the devil gave them. One lie that the devil gave them. And you think about Cain. Cain literally, from the very first family, split civilization in two and created two civilizations. One that was godless, one that walked away from the presence of the Lord, one that had no interest in God. And that civilization eventually made full circle, came and infected the other civilization to the point where God had to destroy the entire earth. Now, what caused all of that? Just because the devil sat on Cain's shoulder one day and said this, you know what, it's not fair that God shouldn't accept the work of your hands as a satisfactory sacrifice for your sins. That's all he got. That's the only thing he had to get Cain to believe, was that there was an alternative to the blood and should be. And if there was no, if there was not, and God would not accept an alternative, Cain had a right to be mad about it. Now that's it. And you think of the thousands and thousands and thousands and probably millions of people that ended up eventually being destroyed because one person who had access to the truth chose instead to believe a lie, to believe a lie. Now, watch this, folks, because I think most of you are keeping up. I sent a prayer request out because our representative, Bruce Borders, called me on the way up to the State House. And he said, Preacher, I need you to pray, and I need you to see if you can get some people to pray. He said, I'm literally, this is 11:30, he calls. He said, I'm literally almost Indianapolis. I'm driving up for a special closed session with the governor, House of Representatives, and the Senate. We'll all be together. Closed session, closed caucus. Because the governor is coming back in wanting us to reword something that does not need to be reworded. Fix something that does not need to be fixed. And, you know, I never really believed that I'd stand in the pulpit pastoring in the state of Indiana and have to say, guess what, folks? Sodomite marriage is legal in the state in which we live. I never thought I'd ever, in my wildest dreams, I never thought that I would see a day where that would be the case in the great state of Indiana. And how did it happen? Okay. See, folks, watch this. The danger of believing one lie is that one lie never lives by itself. Every lie insists on fathering another lie. And the minute you decide to believe one lie, then you become very open to believe in the next lie, which allows you to become open to believe in the next lie, which allows you to become open to believing the next lie. Now, one of the reasons that old-time independent fundamental Baptist preachers irritate the snot out of people is because we won't let you go to the first lie. I'm just not compromising. Every time somebody wants me to just, well, preacher, if you could just give to hear. No, because I know what's going to happen the minute I give to hear. The pressure is going to come on then to give to hear. And then the pressure is going to come on to give to hear. And pretty soon this church will be like every other carnal, wicked, do-nothing, poor excuse of a church that this area has more than enough of. All right? And so don't let that irritate you. Thank God every day of your life, even if it rubs up against you raw a little bit sometimes, that your preacher just looks at you and says, no, we're not going there. No, that's a lie, folks. Well, it's a little lie. There's no such thing as a little lie. No such thing as a white lie. God sees them all. They're big, black, dirty, filthy things. And so the devil, he just wants to get you to believe one thing. And if you look at the progression of where we're at and the progression to where we're going, because this isn't done. If you had it in your mind that, all right, okay, come on. Let's just let them have legalized marriage and then they'll be done. Then it's over and they'll be, if you thought that, you do not understand how the devil works. You have no conception. The missionary that we support, Brother Caudill, I think his name is, in the country of Canada. If he were to stand in his pulpit next Sunday morning and he was to preach against the sin of homosexuality, he would be subject to either fines or imprisonment for preaching against the sin of homosexuality. Now, does he do it? Yes. Is he careful? I'll be honest with you. Yes. Okay? No messages that he ever preaches is ever recorded, ever taped. Because if somebody had evidence, they would go to the authority. Now, listen, folks, you have no idea how close we are to that right now. Right now, what is being fought right now, if those people that met in closed session, and I've heard nothing about what's come out of that meeting yet, but if they back off of this thing and they cave in and they give in and they back out, it is not just businesses, Christian-owned businesses, that they're going to go after. Canada went through the same process that we're going through. I mean identical process we're going through. We just want to have equal footing. We just want tolerance. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to affect you. We just want, listen, all we want to do is just be recognized. And then they gave them that. And then all of a sudden, here comes the lawsuits. And that's what Indiana's gearing up for right now, going after Christian businesses. So the next step that you're going to see is a push to have included on our federal anti-discriminatory act, have added to the list of those that cannot be discriminated against, which is gender and race, is sexual orientation. The minute that they do that, when your preacher comes up and preaches from the pulpit, now I'm committing a hate crime. I mean, we're not 10 steps from it, okay? We're not 5 steps from it, okay? We're 1 step from it. And so what I want to do is expose some lies, because I can't believe how many Christians have already started buying into these little lies. And they're moving right along. Well, you may be a few steps behind somebody else, but you're already buying into lies. And so we're going to take the Word of God and we're going to answer these lies, all right? These lies, 7 lies that the Sodomites need you to believe. Number 1, here's the first lie. Lie. The Bible does not really condemn homosexuality. Okay. First of all, folks, now wait a minute. It sounds obvious to us because you're in a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. But wait a minute. There was 116 clergy members standing in the General Assembly with a petition in their hand. saying and urging our legislators to vote for the legalization of homosexuality. I'm talking about people that claim to be preachers and pastors and clergy and rabbis and priests. 116 in the state of Indiana standing up there with a petition saying the Bible is not against this. All right? So as much as you may think that Christians and church people aren't buying into this, they are. Aaron, I don't know how many of them are born again Christians, but people that faithfully attend church or associate with church, they bought into it. Let me just ask you, has the devil nibbled away at the edges of your mind on this? Do you have a hard time saying that not only is homosexuality a sin, but it's a grievous, wicked sin against God? Do you have trouble saying, oh, preacher, we can't say that anymore? Why? What do you mean we can't say that? Because my Bible says it. Do you have a trouble saying out loud, homosexuality, sodomy is an abomination against God? I mean, folks, listen, the whole purpose of what's going on right now is to make it so that not only will you be too intimidated to say it out amongst the community, but your preacher won't be allowed to say those statements from the pulpit without risking a fine or jail time. Okay? Now, what does the Bible say? Good night. Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20:13. If a man, why are you reading this? We know these because these young people need to hear it over and over. You need to hear it. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. God was so adamant about this, so against it, that in the Old Testament law, the law of Israel, it was considered a death penalty sin. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. God has poured out divine judgment, erasing cities from existence because of the sin of homosexuality. Genesis 13:10, and the Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent toward Sodom. Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 18:16, and the men arose from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham this thing which I do? Seest that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? And then he goes on to say this, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grievous. And then he pronounces judgment on it. Genesis 19, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou any besides son-in-laws and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy. And I wonder if the angels of destruction are already headed towards the United States of America. I wonder what's going to happen to the state of Indiana, my beloved home state, if we back up on this. I wonder what judgments are going to come. All right. God's going to either have to do it or apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Genesis 19, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plains, all the inhabitants. I won't read all the verses. This is a whole sermon in itself. The removing of the Sodomites from the land was a key ingredient of revival for the nation of Israel. 1 Kings 15, 1 Kings 22, 2 Kings 23. Toleration of sodomy by Israel is listed as one of the reasons Israel and Judah were defeated by heathen kings and taken into captivity. Better listen, America. Better listen. Okay? Homosexuality is the last stop on the road to becoming a reprobate. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans chapter 1. By the way, New Testament, for those people that don't believe that the Old Testament has any relevance, which it does. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, the lie, number one, is this. Guess what? Homosexuality, the Bible does not really condemn it. Folks, that is a lie of the devil. The Bible categorically condemns the sin of homosexuality. Number two, here's the second lie. Some people are born homosexual. Some people are born homosexual. Well, let me say a couple things. Number one, we are all born sinners. Okay, but that doesn't give us a right to pass laws legalizing lying or legalizing murder or legalizing any other sin. We're all born sinners. I'm going to take it a step further. We all have besetting sins. And the honest truth is, folks, listen to me, I've done a lot of counseling in my life. And you're in La La Land if you don't think that some young men and some young ladies besetting sin, I mean, the thing that they wrestle with the most, couldn't be this sin. Because sometimes it is. But that does not mean that they were born to be a homosexual. It means that God sent Jesus to save us from sin and to forgive us from sin and to give us victory over sin. That's what it means. And so some people are born homosexual. That is a lie of the devil. They have bogus science. I think the same scientists that they employed to prove global warming are the same ones that they've employed to try to prove that people are certainly born homosexual. Now, I'm going to show you in a minute why they need you to believe that, though. That will be said over and over and over and over and over, folks. That is a lie. The minute somebody says the Bible doesn't really teach against it, stop. That's a lie. Let's go to the scriptures. Okay? Well, people are born that way. A lie. A lie. Folks, watch this. Watch this. Sexual conduct is a choice. Your sexual conduct is a choice that you make. Okay? If you choose to follow the word of God and keep that sacred, very sacred area in the boundaries of a marriage, it's a blessed thing. If you chose to pervert it, it's a sin. It's a sin. And nobody is born without the ability to, and by the way, with no responsibility before God in this area of their life. And so some people are born homosexual. That is absolutely a lie of the devil. Hey, have you already fallen for that one? You bought into that? You believed it? You read enough articles? Have enough friends? Well, I've got some friends that are, well, have you bought into the lie? Because if you do, you're just taking the same journey here. Another professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Yeah, but we have science. They don't have science. Have any science to it whatsoever, all right? So they need you to believe that. All right, number three. How about this one? You'll hear this a lot. Jesus taught us to love and accept everyone for who they are. Jesus gets blamed for a lot of things. Jesus taught us to love. Okay, amen. But they don't stop there. Jesus taught us to love and accept everyone for who they are. No. Jesus commanded us to preach the gospel so that men have the opportunity to be delivered from darkness. Ephesians 5:3 says, But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, watch this, that no whoremonger nor unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all godliness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, Christ will give thee light. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, folks, Jesus Christ did not teach us to accept or embrace the sin of homosexuality. He absolutely did not. He taught us to love sinners. But the Bible says that the reason, according to Hebrews chapter 1, that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit above all his fellows was because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And so I'm taught by the example of my Savior that I'm to love the sinners but hate the sin. And so, no, Jesus did not teach us to be tolerant of or accepting of the sin of homosexuality. Number four, lie number four. Legalizing homosexual marriage doesn't adversely affect anyone. Christians need to learn tolerance. We need to learn to peacefully coexist. Okay, now watch this, folks. That was the argument that was given over and over and over and over again. I read it in many, many editorials, all during our fight for the amendment. What was it called? The traditional marriage amendment. Over and over and over again, they wrote in. Over and over again, they stood in line for their chance to speak before the House of Representatives, which I stood and listened to their testimony, before the Senate floor, which I stood and listened to their testimony. And over again, they challenged those that were opposed to it by saying this: why do you care? You should not care about this whatsoever. We're not hurting you. It doesn't affect you. It's not going to affect your life whatsoever. But it affects ours every single day. So why are you even allowed to have an opinion about this? This is not affecting you at all. And you know what? Some weak-minded Christians went, huh, well, yeah, that's right. I mean, what they do in the privacy of their home, it's none of my business, and it really isn't going to affect me. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? I just sent an article off to our beloved local paper in response to an article that was written by, I won't say his name. It's the latest product of the liberal universities that have been hired in the last few months by the Daily World, that trots out, gets in front of a computer, and finally has an opportunity to spew everything that he learned in his liberal university about all that he knows. And he entitled his viewpoints article on last Saturday's paper of the Daily World on retrieving my iPad after reading the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which he introduces by telling how he got online, read the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and then threw his iPad across the room. Luckily, he had made a $50 investment in an OtterBox, and it saved his iPad. And then he goes on a 1,000-word rant about why this is a bad law. And he misquotes the Constitution of the United States, upon which Pastor Jerry Ross sends him an email. Now listen to this, folks. This is a man being paid to write. Okay, he's on staff. He's got a job. They're paying him to write articles. He's a journalist major. He's a college-educated journalist that apparently has never read the Constitution of the United States. Because he says, as most people know, the First Amendment gives all Americans the right to freedom of religion, and more specifically, it calls on the government to have a separation between church and state. And any of you that know the First Amendment of the Constitution knows that there is absolutely no mention in the First Amendment concerning separation of church and state. And yet it more specifically says that. No, it doesn't. And so I called him on it and sent him an email. You need to retract this publicly. You've misrepresented our United States Constitution in our local paper. You need to fix this. It doesn't say that. This is what it says. Where is that? Upon which he replies, I made no mistake. I'm 100% right. At which point I send again his statement and said, read this. And then the First Amendment written, now read this. Now please, again, show me where it says specifically. You know what the problem is, folks? Watch this. And I wanted to say, son, he's brand new. He has no idea what he's getting into. He got a job at the wrong paper. He's got Pastor Jerry Ross that's going to hold him accountable on everything. Hey, listen, son, I'm just telling you, you don't get to misquote the Constitution and not get called on it. Do your homework. Okay? And I said, and then on top of that, please share with me, by the way, the First Amendment not only guarantees freedom of religion, guarantees that the state will have no right to establish a religion, but it also will not pass any laws that would prohibit the free exercise of our religion. That's what it says. So I said, not only is it not saying what you're saying it says, but it gives you the reason why Christian businessmen and businesswomen have a right to refuse to be involved in a sodomite celebration on any level and are protected by the Constitution. Upon which he replies to me, I refuse to answer any email that uses the word sodomite to describe a segment of the American population. Upon which I reply, son, it's a Bible word. I'm a preacher. I'm not allowed to use a Bible word. I said, the Bible actually says quite a bit about this. You might want to read it. It's very enlightening. Upon which I get no answer. Because there is no answer. I wanted to say, listen, if you're going to be a liberal, get used to one thing. You're going to have to be a hypocrite your whole life. Yeah, I mean, if you're not willing to baptize yourself in hypocrisy, don't even become a liberal. And so, you know, what? So then I got online where his article is, and I pointed out on the comment page, there were three comments. Well said. I agree. Good job. Well said. I'm thinking, well said, well said, well said. He misquoted the Constitution. Did you read it? Upon which I point out that he misquoted the Constitution. So then I go back later to see if anybody else has responded, and my comment is now gone. And there's three of them still on there, well said, well said, well said, but the guy that points out the fact that he made a complete blunder, now the comment's gone. So I went back and checked out. He got hired in August, so I went back and looked at his other articles, and one of them was on censorship. So I post another comment. So if someone disagrees with your viewpoint, their comment gets zapped. Didn't you write an article a few months ago on censorship? ? I would tell you to get on and read that, but by now I'm sure it's been zapped. Now, I want to point something out to you folks. Listen, this isn't just one guy. Every single one I've dealt with, he's just the latest. Every single one I've dealt with in 30 years of doing this are the same way. They don't want honesty. They don't want the truth. They don't want honest dialogue. You know what they want? They want to lie and get by with it. Print mistruths and get by with it. Print exaggerations and not be called on it. And have some mushheads out there typing in, well, that's well said. That's well said. So this is where we're at. I sent Anna Rochelle, who is the new editor of our local paper here, a request. And by the way, you pray about this, because I've asked to be they have paid staff columnists, and then they have what they call community columnists, which are people that live in the community that contribute on a regular basis to the paper. I've asked her to be a community columnist. I didn't ask her to be that based on my position here as pastor. I asked that based on my success in journalism and my success in writing, which honestly, I'm 1,000 times more qualified than I won't answer an email that uses the word sodomites, him. And so you pray about that. You know what? We deserve equal time. I mean, if anybody that doesn't agree with a local newspaper on something that they've said and has no right to answer it, folks, listen to me. It's going to be very interesting to see if our local paper just doesn't become a mouthpiece for militant homosexualism. Because that's what most of the media is. That's what CBS is. That's what NBC is. That's definitely what CNN is. That's what most of the papers are. And the reason I want to be a columnist is this. If he gets to write 1,000 words, and yet they want me to write a letter to the editor, and I'm not allowed to use over 200, that's not a very fair field. Even the USA Today, and I pointed it out to them, if you go to the editorial page of the USA Today, whatever their topic of the day is, they have a pro editorial for it. Other Asbury, you read it. I read the USA Today when I get to it. And they allow equal response, two different people, to address it from a pro and con. How come we can't get that here? Now what I'm saying is this. You know why? Because the devil only wants one thing published and one thing told and one thing on the news, and that's his lies. And he doesn't want to give any platform to anybody that speaks the truth. And so, I sent her my first article, which probably means I'm not going to be allowed to be a columnist. The Pandora's Box of Legalized Gay Marriage. Welcome, Indiana, to our post-legalized gay marriage era. Remember the bleeding heart liberals and the GLBT victims who lined up to plead for the legalization of homosexual marriage? They just wanted equal rights. All they were asking for was tolerance. Just let them marry. After all, how was legalizing gay marriage going to in any way adversely affect those who disagree with it? They are not asking for us to agree with it, condone it, or participate in it. They just want tolerance. Guess what? They lied. Not surprising, since their entire house of cards is built on lies, such as, we are born this way. Upon which I answer, sexual conduct is always a choice. Such as, this is a civil rights issue, not a sin issue. By the way, which I answer, what a slap in the face of Christian African Americans and Christian women when the attempt to legalize deviant sexual activity is compared to racial and gender discrimination. Such as, the Bible should have no bearing on Indiana laws. Think about this, folks. Go ahead, believe that one. Then go to our law books and repeal every law that finds its basis in the scriptures. Now let that sink in a minute. We would then have a society where murder, stealing, rape, and child abuse is legal. I go on. Homosexual marriage became legal in Indiana, not because Hoosiers voted it so, not because our elected officials passed a bill, not because an Indiana governor signed it into law, but because an activist federal judge in Chicago, Illinois, circumvented our state's executive and legislative branches and declared it so. His decision was a miscarriage of justice, a denial of state rights, and a gross misinterpretation of the Constitution, and now we're living with the fallout. Militant homosexuals should be satisfied. After all, they just wanted tolerance. End of story, right? Wrong. Now that homosexuals have legal marriage status in Indiana, they are now gearing up to declare open season on Indiana businessmen and businesswomen who dare not embrace and celebrate their perverse lifestyle. own a t-shirt business? Do you have a religious conviction against printing t-shirts with a picture of two men and a lip lock? Too bad. Print it or they will sue you and put you out of business. Are you a professional photographer? Want to opt out of spending an afternoon at a gay wedding snapping photos of a lesbian conga line? Go ahead, but expect a lawsuit along with a social media smear campaign against your business. Own a restaurant? Go ahead and deny that transgender male access to the girls' bathroom, but expect a call from an ACLU lawyer. Militant gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders do not just want out of the closet. They'll never be satisfied until anyone and everyone who disagrees with them is shoved into the closet that they came out of. Our constitutional right to religious freedom should protect Americans from participating in or contributing to anything that would violate our individual religious beliefs. We are constitutionally empowered and guaranteed our right to exercise our religious beliefs. Our constitutional right to free speech should allow us to speak out against those things we believe to be a deterrent to our children and our society. No Bible-believing Christian businessman or woman should ever be forced to participate in or contribute to a lifestyle he or she believes to be perverse and sinful. By the way, I managed that in under 600 words. All right. I want to just explain something to you so you get it, folks. Well, we need to just practice tolerance. We need to learn to peacefully get along. Come on, preacher, it's the future. We just got be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are diametrically opposed. The two belief systems cannot peacefully coexist. Militant homosexuality has its goal not to coexist with Christianity, Bible Christianity, but to destroy it. Now, they're going to do it through lies. They're going to do it through any way, any dirty, rotten way. They're going to use the judicial system. They're going to use everything they can. Preacher, are we diametrically opposed to that sin? Yes. How do we intend to annihilate it? Through preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And giving hope that people can be delivered from those sins and those things can be forgiven. But legalized homosexual marriage doesn't adversely affect anyone? Well, ask those Christian businessmen and businesswomen. Wait a year or two when your preacher's calling you from jail. Okay? I mean, folks, it's getting real. It's getting real, okay? Better figure some things out. Quickly, lie number five, the sodomites' fight for acceptance is a civil rights issue, just like that fought by the blacks and women. Wrong! When they say, oh my goodness, if this thing gets passed, it's going to be like the Jim Crow laws of old, they have no right to compare themselves to the Negroes' struggle for equal rights. No right! They have no right to compare themselves to the women fighting for equal rights. No right to do that. You know why? Because if a person is born, whatever race he's born, that's the choice of Almighty God. This is why they got to get you to believe that they were born that way. I mean, folks, remember, if you're going to believe one lie, then you got to take the next one. I mean, that's why we're going to say, no, you weren't. If a man's born a black man, then he's born a black man. He didn't choose that. By the way, you know, if I was born black, I would be proud of that. Come on, I'm just telling you. If I was born Asian, I'd be proud of that. Come on. Of course, if you're born white, you can't be proud of it. All right, come on now. You want to talk about discrimination? Let's talk about reverse discrimination. Okay, there's other things I'm going to want to say right here, but this is going to be listened to enough, and I'm going to be in enough trouble, so... No, I mean, come on now. You know? What is this bill trying to prevent? Reverse discrimination. This isn't a bill that's going to cause discrimination. This is a bill that's preventing discrimination. Because see, I ought to have as much rights as the sodomites. Well, how would you feel if you walked into a sodomite establishment and they said, we don't serve independent fundamental Baptists? I'd like to know that. And by the way, I would totally respect that. You know what I'd say? I'd say, let capitalism decide, my friend. Let me put a sign on your door. By the way, I'll pass the word. You don't want any Bible-believing Christians in here. We can help you out with that. But that business owner ought to have every right to that make that decision. If I walk in here and he decides he doesn't want to, somebody doesn't want to wait on me or serve me, because you know what? They'll never get a lawsuit from me. That man owns his business. He's take the financial risk. He gets to decide he wait. It's called America. It's called America. You know what I'd say? You know what? We may not agree, but I'll 100% back your right to make that decision. God bless you. Have a nice day. I'll go get my coffee and pizza somewhere else. Which I do anyway. See, I like my coffee straight. I don't want a twist of anything in it, man. I just want it straight. If I was a lady, I'd be insulted every time I see them trying to equate their movement and that struggle for what they perceive their rights as with the struggle for women for equal rights. I would be insulted. As an African American, I would be insulted. As an American Indian, I would be insulted. Because you see, women are born women and everybody's born who they are, but homosexuality is a choice. It's a choice. All right? Number six. Anyone who is against homosexuality, here's lie number six. Anyone who is against homosexuality is a bigot full of hate and homophobic. Isaiah warned us about this, that these days would come. He levels six woes against Israel because the same sins were coming into Israel right before they were led away into captivity. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, the only problem with buying into these lies, folks, is you know what? You don't realize where this is taking you. It used to be that anybody that preached against this sin, everybody knew they were right. Everybody knew that they were light. Everybody knew that that was the truth. But the more we buy into the lies, not only does it take us to the middle, but eventually it takes us way over on this side, where all of a sudden these people are right. And anybody that preaches the truth of the Bible is wrong, a bigot, full of hate, and what they call a homophobic. Now, folks, listen to me. The reason they're allowed to use the accusation of bigotry is because they want to grab the civil rights groups and say we're the same. You know, you racist homophobics. They always like throwing racists in because they want to come over here with these, what they consider these oppressed groups that have had to struggle for their rights. Well, we're one of them. No, you're not. No, you're not. And so I'm not a bigot because, you know what? Watch this. You know what? Because you're not a race. You're a group of people that's chosen to involve themselves in a sin that's an abomination against God, grievously wicked before the Lord. You're not a minority. You're not a race. Okay? And so don't let them, no, sorry, no. So hate? Folks, the greatest act of love that's ever been bestowed upon somebody trapped in the sin of homosexuality is a Bible preaching preacher or good soul winner that tries to share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of forgiveness and deliverance from sin and the opportunity to be saved and spend eternity in heaven. That's not hate. That's love. It's an act of love to preach against sin. Let me say it again. It's an act of love to preach against sin. Because if you don't preach against sin, there's no conviction of sin. And if there's no conviction of sin, there's no conversion of the soul. All right? Homophobic? Some of you think, what is that? Well, this is a way that they use to try to intimidate you, okay? The real reason you don't like the sin of homosexuality is, now think about this. Do you know what a homophobic is? Okay, this is what they would say to you. The reason that you really are bothered by this sin and you're against it is because down deep in your heart, you really want to be that. But think of what that does. All of a sudden, people's like, whoa. I don't want to be that, so maybe I just ought to be quiet because I don't want to appear to be homophobic. Folks, listen, I'm not homophobic. Okay, they're Bible-phobic. They've got the phobia. I don't have a phobia. They got a phobia. Okay? I'm not scared of any of that. They're scared of the Word of God. And so don't let them, you know, it's kind of crazy. When you can't win an argument, come on, when you're little kids and you're arguing, you couldn't win an argument, what do you start doing when you can't win an argument? You start calling names. You know what I like to do? I like to argue with these people until they start calling me names. And at about the third email, they start calling you names. At which point, I always reply, thank you. I graciously accept your surrender. You have nothing left to say, so you've reverted to third grade recess calling names. I graciously accept your surrender. At which point they call me more names. Honestly, and sometimes you know what? Hey, come on, Christian, I've watched preachers do that. They don't really have a Bible base for what they believe, so you know what they do? They go on a rant, start calling names. You know what? I ain't calling names tonight, other than Bible names. I don't have to call a name. You know what I do? I just keep repeating the truth and repeating the truth and repeating the truth and repeating the truth. Okay? So watch that. Anyone who is against homosexuality is a bigot, full of hate, homophobic. Absolutely not true. Lie, lie, lie. Lie number 7. There are different definitions of a family, and as long as people love one another, it shouldn't matter. Wrong. Lie. Okay, God created man. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God, through the scriptures, defines the family. Watch this, and Christian people need to hear this. One man, one wife for life. One man, one wife for life. Because that's God's definition of a family. And God blesses and prospers that union. Within the holy boundaries of that union, children are born, and the human race goes forward. And folks, watch this. The militant homosexual agenda includes the destruction of the biblical family. Biblical family. Folks, I don't know what you watch on TV, and you know what? It's not my job to babysit you. But boy, the next time you're watching something and some little sodomite prancing around on some show and you can sit there and tolerate that and laugh and think it's funny. You don't even know. Listen, I'm just trying to help you. Don't get mad at me. But you don't know that you're desensitizing yourself into accepting that. That's not funny. These animated half-hour sitcoms are out of the pit of hell. And I'm not talking about Roadrunner on Saturday morning. I think you know what I'm talking about, this Family Guy stuff and all this other anime. What is wrong with us? They make it into a cartoon, and now Independent Fundamental Baptist, because it's a cartoon, loses our convictions? I mean this. If you are watching that kind of stuff, I hope God is bringing such deep conviction on your heart right now that you can't even hardly breathe. I hope your pulse rate goes up to about 120. I hope you break out in a cold. I hope God gets all over you. Because, folks, you see, we're contributing to the problem. Well, I'm so disappointed in the list of businesses and the list of corporations that are coming out. I got word on this, and if I'm wrong, I will correct. If I make a mistake, I will correct it, as opposed to others. But Walmart and Apple came out today. Shake your head if you heard that or seen that. Came out today, Walmart. And these are the companies that are threatening to pull out of Indiana. And you know what I say? Bye. You know, our governor has a chance to be a hero right now. Pray for him. I've only had one conversation with our governor. I stood in his office. Eric Miller caught me one day. I did not have a scheduled appointment with him. He caught me one day and said, hey, Pastor Ross, can you hang around for 30 minutes? Yeah, I'm going to go in to see the governor. I want him to meet you. I'll hang around for 30 minutes. I walked in. Mike Pence got to shake his hand. And by the way, Brother Pence, and I think I can call him that because I believe undeniably by the testimony of his lips and I think the actions of his life that he's a born-again Christian. And he reached out and shook my hand. He said, Preacher, Pastor Ross, Brother Eric introduced me and he said, Pastor Ross, what can I do for you? And I said, you can run for president in 2016. So I told him. And he laughed and he said, that's what I think you ought to do. And he said, well, that's one of us. And he kind of laughed, but he thanked me and we talked a little bit. If he goes backwards on this, I'm going to get in to see him again. You've got to let me. And I'm going to say, Governor, I asked you to do something last time that I'm going to have to withdraw and ask you not to do. Because we've already got a president that can't stand up against the sodomites. We don't need another guy in there, no matter what party is, that doesn't have the backbone to do that. That's how I feel about it. Folks, listen to me. We've got to stand up. You know, well, Walmart. What if Walmart? Oh, I don't know. Maybe Main Street businesses will come back. Maybe mom and pop grocery stores will be back on the main streets of Indiana again. Maybe a guy like Tony Rash can keep a hardware store open. Well, that'd just be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Oh, Walmart, what if they pulled out? Go ahead. By the way, we need to call their bluff. They ain't going to pull out. You really think they're going to close every Walmart and every Walmart distribution center? If they do, I'd make a law that they can't even cross our state that they have to drive around it because, hey, they don't want to be on our roads, not our roads. We're bigots, you know. Pull out. No, you said, oh, what, did you hear Walmart's leaving Lenten? Good! Some of you ladies will have 20 extra hours a week right there, man. Go! Why don't we call their bluff? You know what Bruce Border said? He said, that's all bluff, preacher. He said, listen, they're not here to do us a favor. There's not a reason all the businesses are here. They're here because we've created a climate in Indiana where they can make a lot of money. They are not going to pull out if we call their bluff. Call it. I'd love to see Mike Pence walk up into the black thing and say, you know what? I've met with our legislators. They're very strong about this. We are not apologizing for or changing one word. We are against discrimination against gays and lesbians, and discrimination against Bible-believing Baptists. We're Bible-believing Christians. We're against all discrimination. We're going to protect our Christian businessmen and Christian businesswomen without apology. And Walmart, if that means you don't want to be in Indiana, I'm sure there were other businesses that would love to open up stores and supply Hoosiers with something that's not made in China. You know what that's called? That's called the strength of your convictions. See, folks, watch this. The love of what's the root of all evil? So why all of a sudden is everybody worried up there? Why is everybody putting the pressure on? Why is everybody in a panic mode? Oh, you know what this is going to do to us? The love of money is the root of all evil. You know how Blessed Hope Baptist Church feels about it? I hope you do. You do whatever you want. But we'll take your tax exempt if you preach against homosexuals. Take it. You know, can you be bought? Can you be bought? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. So what if you have to suffer economically, suffer, live in poverty to stand for what you believe? Are you still willing to do it? Good for us, amen. See, we want all these things fixed, but we don't want to have to suffer in the process. Well, folks, guess what? Get ready. Get ready. But pray for our governor. And I hope you didn't misinterpret what I said. I love our governor. I pray for him every day. I admire him on so many levels. But he should not take one step back on this. It's a good law. It was properly passed. And correctly passed. There's no reason for us to apologize for it or step back from it. So you pray. You pray for representatives. One of the reasons I sent the prayer chain. You know what? Bruce said, "Preacher, you and Doug Castle went and seen me about a year ago and wanted me to run again." And he said, "I think it was for such a time as this." And he said, "Preacher, you pray for me because I will stand up today and look our governor in the eye and say, along with a lot of others, we cannot take one step back. And if we do, we're signing the death toll for the state of Indiana." So I have no idea what's happened. I hope you've been praying. I've been praying off and on without the day. But folks, listen, it's what it is. Seven lies the sodomites need for you to believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help our country, dear God. We're in dire straits. Thank you for men of character. Thank you for men that still stand for right. Thank you, dear Lord, that not all politicians are typical politicians. Thank you for statesmen. Thank you for men of conviction. Thank you for men that still fear you. Dear God, I pray, Lord, for every member of our House of Representatives, every member of our state Senate. Pray for our governor, our lieutenant governor. God, I lift him up. I've been lifting him up all day. Oh, God, please. May they do the right thing. May they honor the word of God. May they fear God above men. May they love, Lord, truth beyond and above money and financial gain. I pray, dear God, that they would not compromise and give in to pressure, dear God, put on by godless people who, dear Lord, have only one true goal, and that's the destruction, dear God, of the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the biblical family. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as Christians not to take a step back. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you wouldn't let this endless propaganda campaign begin to whittle away at truth, dear God. And Lord, our commitment to the Bible. So Lord, I pray that you'd use this to shore some things up, strengthen us, Lord, for the days ahead. We pray these things in Jesus' name.